Hi, Pastor Brandon here with our daily audio readings from our reading plan, Seek Him, for Wednesday, January 8, 2020. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 7, 1 through 9, Genesis 9, and Matthew 4, 12 through 25. We'll be going to Psalm 7, 1 through 9 first. O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. And let him trample my life to the ground, and lay my glory in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you. Over it, return on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to the integrity that is in me. O, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteousness. You who test the minds and hearts, O righteous God. Genesis chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth, and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast on the earth, of the earth, I establish my covenant with you. That never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both of their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backwards, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Matthew 4, 12 through 25. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled: "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the regions in shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord in our readings for Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. I would like to turn back to our Genesis verse in particular today and talk about a few things from here. The first thing that's worth really pointing out is the covenant that God makes with Noah. The first thing we need to notice is it's a unilateral covenant. Noah doesn't have to sign any contract. He doesn't have to do any task. He doesn't have to do anything. God makes this covenant with Noah and all flesh, regardless of how they will respond. God makes this promise not to destroy the earth like this again, under no condition or circumstances based upon Noah. God is the only signer of this contract. And that's what a covenant is. It's a contract. And there's this beautiful image, the rainbow. And what we need to understand is, what direction does the rainbow point if it were God's bow, as in a weapon, a bow that you would shoot an arrow? What direction is the bow pointing? It's pointing to the heavens. It's no longer pointing to the earth. God has set his weapon of destruction down for the time. And he has told us and he has promised us through the Noah covenant that I have a better way, that there will be a better way of dealing with sin, so that this will never have to happen this way again. Jesus is the better way. Now, it isn't long after this that the chaos, the sin that had been wiped clean from the earth, just starts right back up again. And we see another spiral, another descent into sin. And the fact that Noah plants this vineyard, and he drinks the wine and becomes drunk, and decides to lay uncovered in his tent. Now, the interesting part of the story, it says, "And Ham, the father of Cana, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside." The text makes it clear it was Ham that saw his father naked. So why the curse on Cana? Why does Noah curse Cana and not Ham? Why is there a curse in the first place? Because they just saw him naked. Why is Noah so angry about this? And why are the two elder brothers very careful to not see their father's nakedness? Well, one theory is that there was a sexual act of humiliation done to Noah by his son, or worse, by his grandson. There was some homosexual act, rape, or humiliation. This is what a lot of scholars believe, but there is another view that comes from Leviticus 20:11, where it says, "The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness," which is a possible connection. But the problem is, the text makes it pretty clear, Noah isn't figuratively naked. He's naked, naked. And so this theory doesn't hold much water. And the other theory has its very own issues. And we have to ask, what's the big deal about nakedness? There's a huge deal about nakedness. To be naked in the Old Testament, especially, even in the New Testament, was not a thing to be proud of. It was a shameful thing. It was something that was considered shameful to be exposed in such a way. If we call back to Genesis chapter 3, where the man and woman realize they were naked and suddenly are ashamed, even though I and other scholars read a little bit more into this nakedness being complete and utter exposure, they weren't just physically naked, they were spiritually naked. And that was where the shame came from. They both realized they had sinned, and because of that, they were naked and ashamed before each other. And that very well could be the case here, where Noah gets plastered on wine from his vineyard. He's naked. He's ashamed, both physically and spiritually, before his son. And here's the worst part of it. Ham doesn't do anything to fix the problem. No, he goes tells his other two brothers. He goes tells his other two brothers, "You won't believe what Dad did. You won't believe where Dad's at, what Dad is doing." So that's very well why Noah curses Canaan. Now we gotta ask, why Canaan and not Ham? Why does Noah curse Canaan and not Ham? It is believed because Canaan is mentioned specifically here. He is mentioned specifically by Moses here that Canaan was around. Canaan existed in this time. So it's believed that Canaan was with his father. And instead of doing anything about it, he, just like his dad, goes and tells people, his family granted, but still tells them, "You won't believe what Granddad did." And this is the common belief of why Canaan, the grandson, is given the curse and not Ham. And also with the Israelites' belief in descendants, the curse on Canaan was much worse to Ham than a curse on him. You know, Ham's life at this point was nearing its end, as Noah's life was nearing its end. Canaan was the one that was going to carry on his name, carry on his life, according to Jewish tradition. And now Canaan is cursed. And so this also would have been a curse on Ham. Now, enough about curses, enough about nakedness. I just want to point out one thing from our Gospels. When Jesus calls, there's no hesitation. There is no hesitation from the disciples, the early disciples. They drop everything to follow. And that brings us to a very important question today with our readings. Do we do the same? Do we, when we hear Jesus' call, drop everything to follow? Our prayer point for today's reading plan comes on for our homes, our schools, our places of work. Prayer for our people of peace who don't know Jesus. Pray for God's kingdom come and His will to be done in their lives. Tomorrow's prayer point is for our nation and our world. And due to the conflict that has been ensuing in the Middle East, I would like to take some time to pray for Thursday's prayer point now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for peace on earth. As we have exited the season of Christmas, a season of peace, a season that's made for the coming of the Prince of Peace, we pray for that peace. And Lord, we know we will not have full peace on earth until your second coming. And Lord, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. For the world is a mess, and we need you. We pray that you would protect our servicemen and women overseas, that you would help bring peace to them and to their families, and you would help them come home safely. We pray for their safety and their protection, Lord. And Lord, we also do pray for our homes, our schools, our places of work. We pray for those people you've put in our lives that we influence or influence us. We pray if they don't know Jesus, they would come to know you fully. And we definitely do pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I'll be talking at you tomorrow. God bless you all. If you've been listening along with us and reading along with us this past week, we encourage you to like and share this audio devotional with your friends and with your families. You can also go to our website to review previous episodes of this devotional and reading plan. We want to make it very possible for you to be able to dive in and engage with God's Word with us as a family of families, as God's church. So please, definitely like, share, comment, but in all things, have a blessed day.